Well, good morning, family. It is a pleasure to be back here with you, and it is a pleasure to be back here in the pulpit, ready to share the Word of God with you this morning. I shared with Rachel after 2 weeks we had been gone, I had had a good break, and I could use another week or more, but I had already missed being in the pulpit after 2 weeks. 2 weeks was enough. So it is a joy to be back with you sharing the Word of God. This past year has been a difficult one, and I was in need of a break as much as anyone when Christmas rolled around and we were getting ready to make our trip back to the States. And I thank God for each one of you and for your grace allowing me and my family to break away for 3 full weeks. It's the longest we've ever been away from you. I also thank God for the incredible men that He has surrounded me with and has provided to fill in while I traveled, specifically Bob Silva and Daryl Leash. While I was gone, Bob Silva took the lead on most everything. He consulted with me regularly, but he assumed responsibility for much while I was gone, enabling Rachel and I to disconnect in a way that richly blessed us. And so, family, I just want to encourage you that if you haven't, talk to Bob, send him an email, treat him to dinner, whatever it is, and share with him your gratitude. This man and his wife, Dale, sacrificially serve this church more than you know. And I'm grateful to have him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, family, before I left, the Lord laid it on my heart to preach a vision message this week upon my return. And I've had lots of time to think and pray through this message over the last month. At first, it was going to be a message, a rather general vision message for our church as a whole. The vision for the church under my pastorate, which I've never directly preached on. However, as I prayed and pondered through this, I believe the Lord led me to do a more specific vision, namely the vision for BBF in the year 2021. Now, I do plan to do a more general and overarching BBF vision message at some point down the road, but for this morning, God has made it very here and now focused. Specifically, what does God have for us? And what does He want us to be about this year, both individually and as a church family? Now, there's a number of things that He wants us to be about always, regardless of the year. And yet, as I met with Him and asked Him, as the literal head of our church, to show me what it is that He has for us this year, I believe He faithfully shared His heart and His vision for us here at BBF at this time. And so I'm excited about this message, and I'm excited to share with you that which I believe God has burdened me with on behalf of our church family. And I'm excited to see how God weaves these goals and these focuses and these themes throughout the rest of this coming year. Now, I'm going to structure this slightly different than usual. Namely, I'm going to give you the three main pieces of the vision now up front, and then we're going to unpack each of them. And so the vision and the focus that I believe God has for us this year is number one, and I have a slide for this that can go on the screen. Number one, to continue to recalibrate our perspective of who God is. That's number one. And these are on your handout as well. Number two, to live according to authoritatively true reality. That may sound complex and complicated. We'll get to it. And number three, to actively and consciously live in a way that exudes the Holy Spirit. Now, I think each one of us could say to this, well, well, duh, we should always be about these things. And you're not wrong. Yet, I think there's something here where God wants to burn this into our brain this year in a unique kind of way. He wants to invade our hearts and our minds in a way that's quite literally intrusive by making these things pervasive within us this year. Put another way, I believe God wants to train and disciple us. I believe he wants much of what we're going to discuss this morning to become an instant automatic reaction as we do life, rather than something we have to really sit down and think deeply about. In training us, I believe he wants to change the way we think and the way we act in profoundly radical ways. And I, for one, welcome this heavenly invasion. Amen? So let's get after it. The first thing that God has for us on this unique agenda this year is for us to continue to recalibrate our perspective of who God is. And I say continue because God has been doing this with us throughout the Life of Joseph series that we began back in September. We've seen time and time again how God does things or sovereignly allows things that we just would not have expected based on our understanding of who God is. This calls for us to pause, adjust, and recalibrate our understanding of God. This recalibration, and this is key, family, I'll say this twice. This recalibration is a call to see, know, and love God according to the Bible and his perspective, not according to our own perspective or what we may want God to be like. I'll say it again, and I think I put this on your handout. This recalibration is a call to see God and to know God and to love God for who he is, according to the Bible, according to his perspective, not according to us. We're to see him, to know him, and to love him for who he has revealed himself to be in the holy word of God. Amen? Amen. We don't love bits and pieces of him. Like, I love his forgiveness and his loving kindness towards sinners, but I really don't care for, and I'm not all that comfortable with his holiness, his discipline, or limitations that he places on how I live. It's all or nothing. Either we see him and we know him and we love all that we see and know, loving him for who he is, or we don't. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, many professing believers see and think that they love a God who doesn't exist. They love an image of God, one who they themselves and the culture around them have created based on their own emotions, experiences, and finite understanding. This is deception at its finest, and our enemy is working overtime right now in this department. It has grieved me to see on social media so many of the friends that I grew up with, so many of the friends that I nearly lived in the church with, we were there so often, now publicly hailing the new U.S. president and his administration as a savior. Scores of self-acclaimed Christians rejoicing at the installation of a government who embraces, legalizes, promotes, and exports sin on a level we can scarcely fathom. They say things like, love is love, or it's the woman's body, she should be able to do what she wants. They don't know God. They don't know God. It's a facade. Let us not be deceived, family, about who God is. Don't fall for the snare that the devil has laid. It is a trap that will ensnare most. And we should not be surprised. The way is hard and the gate is narrow. We should be grieved to our soul. We should be grieved, but we should not be surprised when the enemy does what he does best. And let me just say, our enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he is devouring multitudes. And more than anything, I do not want that to be you, and I do not want that to be me. And so, family, let's chase after God. Let's pursue him and long to know him more and continue to grow in our understanding of and in our relationship with him. Amen. And without doubt, this is infinitely easier said than done. This isn't something that comes simply from attending church on Sundays or listening to YouTube videos. It comes from serious, sacrificial, and concerted effort in studying the Word of God and spending actual, real time with Him. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." This comes not passively, but by studying it daily, being transformed by it, having your worldview shaped by it. It's knowing God so well, by knowing his word so well, and allowing that to shape everything about who we are and how we think, how we speak, and how we behave. It's allowing God, namely the God of the universe, Almighty, creator and sustainer of all things, it's allowing God to invade and transform every area of our lives. First, through deep study of and meditation on his word, and then dying to self and living as and to Christ from the inside out. You see, the point here is not primarily get smart, learn the doctrines and have really good theology, learn information and know lots of things. That's not primarily what God is saying to us this morning. However, I will say this, we will find it incredibly difficult to be radically transformed in any practical, external way without first being transformed on the inside. We must have a rock-solid foundation laid by good theology and understanding the doctrines we profess. The Apostle Peter exhorts us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you read the rest of that passage, you'll see that Peter gives us this exhortation so that we won't be deceived, so we won't lose our stability and inadvertently twist the scriptures into something that they aren't. He wants us to have a rock-solid foundation so we aren't tossed to and fro, as Paul says, by every wind of doctrine. He wants us to know God deeply, which is what God also desires from us. Listen to what the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. I love this. We're to boast in that we understand and know our God. This is the first part of our aim for this year, to understand and know God as well and as accurately as we possibly can. And then we're to allow that to facilitate an outward change that we'll discuss in just a moment. Amen? The second piece or goal that I believe God has for us as a vision for this year is to live according to authoritatively true reality. That's point number two. Live according to authoritatively true reality. In other words, we're to allow the truths of the Bible, we're to allow God, and we're to allow His perspective to calibrate and determine our reality, not the deceptions of the enemy, the world, or of ourself. Basically, it's taking the first point of being recalibrated to seeing God and knowing Him and loving Him for who He really is according to the Bible, and then allowing that truth to shape everything about how we think and live. I'm going to share two examples here. Here's an example of totally blowing it. Joe Biden is the new president of the United States. Life is over. The United States has fallen. We're without hope. His administration will ruin everything. I know his evil plans, and therefore I cannot pray for him. A Democrat is in the White House. Anyone see a problem with this perspective? Unfortunately, this is the perspective of many Christians today, and then they actively live according to this so-called reality. However, here is an example of nailing it. Joe Biden is the new president of the United States. I don't support the majority of his policies or promises, and I view them as, at the very least, destructive and, at worst, damning. Yet, I know God is completely sovereign over all things in the universe and raises up every ruler who has ever existed to accomplish his own purposes. Our God is not surprised by the election, nor is he wringing his hands in worry or defeat. On some level, Biden is a puppet, not ultimately of the New World Order, as some would tell you, but ultimately of God himself. God may use this president to bring about incredible frustration and evil, and yet I know God is good and is ultimately working to bring all these things together for the good of those who love him, namely born-again believers. I'm disappointed with the results of the election, and yet my hope and my joy are not rooted in this world, but they are rooted in Jesus Christ, who alone is good, just, holy, wise, and all-powerful. I count all things, including this election, as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I will pray for this man and for his administration as I would any other, as I'm instructed by God to do. I will pray for his salvation, and I will pray that God will use him to accomplish his purposes and that he would be glorified as a result. You see a difference in these two outlooks? One of these is in tune with true reality. A mindset, a response, and a worldview shaped by the God and the truths of the Bible. The other is shaped by the world and would be expected from those who do not know Christ. Now, some of us may be comfortable and even content with the first perspective, but this is exactly what the Lord has for BBF this year, namely to have us live in and submit to his perspective, not one in which we may be more familiar with or more comfortable with. Here's another example. Worry and anxiety. Did you know that statistically, at least 80% of the things that we worry about never happen? So 80% of our worrying is according to a reality that does not exist and is not true. What a waste! I have some pessimistic family members who are really good at envisioning worst-case scenarios in almost everything and then projecting themselves into that reality, namely a future one that doesn't exist and more than likely never will exist. Then they allow that dreamt-up reality of worst-case scenarios full of fear and worry and anxiety to plague them in the present. Does anybody know someone like this? Unfortunately, this is not rare. Most all of us do this on some level, even if only in a very minor way. And I believe what God desires from us, especially in this age that we're living in, which is full of fake news and disinformation, what God desires is for us to only allow ourselves to be calibrated by what we know is true, namely God and his word. I so want this for myself, and I deeply desire this for our church family. I really believe that God wants us to live according to reality that is authoritatively true, meaning it's shaped by the infallible word of God. And family, this is for our good. Oh, if we could see how good this really is for us. The Lord doesn't want us to allow our emotions and our experiences, various news outlets, the guy that you follow on YouTube or Facebook. He doesn't want us to allow our enemy, our flesh, the world, and so on to shape our reality and our perspective. Our Heavenly Father wants to be the one to transform our minds and the way we think. He wants us to think more and more like a child of his, one who walks and talks with him every day. He wants to be the one to influence us and to shape our perspective. And he jealously wants to protect us from all other worldly and fleshly sources that would seek to shape it instead. Am I making sense here? If we honestly ask God to do this, I believe he will. As we do the first point of actively seeking him and his truth, he will enable us to do this second one, namely to live according to true reality. And you'll know that you're growing in this area and perhaps nailing it when your immediate knee-jerk reaction is something like the example I shared previously. You instantly and more consistently respond this way, no matter what it is. You immediately fall back on the promises of God, who he is, and what his word says. You don't get sucked into the emotions and the drama, but instead you exude wisdom and maturity that result from increasing in the grace and the knowledge of God. You see, the Christian walk is actually a walk. It's something practical and visible. It's not just head knowledge. I'm sure we all know some Christians who are really smart and who know lots of things. Perhaps they can even regurgitate scripture and doctrine well, but they don't live it. It hasn't been put into action. And you see, that's what this is all about. It's taking that head knowledge of excellent theology and wonderful, glorious doctrines, which are critical and important and necessary, and then applying them to our everyday living. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where true maturity and true wisdom is revealed. And I believe that this is what God desires from us in a unique way this year as we navigate 2021. Amen. The final piece of this vision that I believe God has for us this year is to actively and consciously live in a way that exudes the Holy Spirit. Now, this one is fairly self-explanatory, at least compared to the first two. What this means is that we have this idea of exuding the Holy Spirit, this idea that the Holy Spirit lives within us. We have this on the front burner at almost all times. Just like the first two transform our hearts and our minds, this too begins internally and then it leaks outward into something external. Something visible, something measurable, something experiential. Not only are we seeking to change the way we think and the way we process and the way we react and interpret things and so on, not only are we seeking to change that part of it, but we seek to then turn that into action and change the way we behave. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It's allowing God the Spirit to have His way in us. We constantly consider the reality of the Spirit living within us as we interact with others and even ourselves, both with believers and non-believers. In a sentence, this means the fruits of the Spirit are our aim, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our model. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 spells it out very clearly for us and tells us exactly what this is and what this looks like. Here's what it says. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, say it with me, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what this is about. These are the things that we're to seek to exude at all times, no matter the situation or the circumstance. We want to model and reflect Christ well to a watching world around us. And family, these things are only possible with God Himself. Anyone can fake it and act this way for a time, but it's not sustainable and it's not natural. In fact, it's very unnatural if God the Holy Spirit is not within us, empowering us. You see, God is not interested in our ability to fake it and to put on a show for others, but rather, He wants to transform us totally so that this is real and genuine and lasting, so that this becomes truly who we are. You see, part, namely the first two, part of this vision that God is casting for us this year is allowing deep, rich, and even difficult or controversial at times theology and doctrines to change how we think and see and process and respond to things as the church, as the body and the bride of Christ. And then the other, this point number three here, is partnering and laboring with the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. That is, the process of becoming more and more like Jesus in a specific way. Namely, total transformation so that we naturally exude Christ. When we're nailing this, people are naturally drawn into us. We build others up. We encourage them. We strengthen them and minister to them, and they legitimately enjoy being around us because knowingly or unknowingly, they're in the presence of God the Spirit. We don't exude harshness, divisiveness, or ugliness. We exude Christ, who is none of these. It's always having in our minds the reality that God Himself lives within us. We have died. Our old self is gone, family. It's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And so it becomes our aim, not by our own will, but by the will of the Spirit who lives in us, to live in a way that is pleasing to Him and reflects Him. It's daily dying to ourselves more and more and giving God control more and more, allowing the Spirit that lives within us to shine through. And when He does, He gets all the glory. Because it's not us doing anything. It's the grace of God bursting forth from our life in radically transformative ways. Amen? Family, I invite and even beseech you this morning to join with me in pursuit of this vision that God has given us for this year. This is not some general blanket message for anyone, anywhere. I believe with all my heart that this is what God has for us. Here at Boquete Bible Fellowship, a part of this family at this time. We know not what this year has in store for us, any more than we did this time last year for 2020. However, I am confident that no matter what the world or our enemy or God Himself throws at us, this is what He wants us to be about in the midst of whatever it is that comes our way. Namely, to continue to recalibrate our perspective of who God is, to live according to authoritatively true reality, and to actively and consciously live in a way that exudes the Holy Spirit. Family, let's endeavor to know Christ deeper than we've ever known Him this year. Let's fellowship with our brothers and sisters in a way that is centered on Him. Let us dedicate this year to Him and make this year about Him in radically pervasive ways. Let's allow God and His Word to shape everything about our being. How we see things, how we interpret things, how we react to things, how we feel about things, and so on. And let's actively work together with God to live in a way that exudes Him and His attributes and reflects and models Him well. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the cross, because without it, we could never know You. We could never live according to the truth and according to Your perspective, and we would never experience the Holy Spirit's transforming power within us. Oh, what a blessing it is. What scandalous grace has been poured out on us to know You intimately as Abba, Father. Lord, I pray that You would give us an irresistible desire to be about these things from this point forward for the rest of our lives, but also in a unique way this year. Give us a deep longing to, as Jeremiah says, understand and know You more. I also pray that You would come alongside us and supernaturally enable these things within us. the things that you have shared with us this morning are not surfacey, feel-good goals. They are treasures from the top shelf that are near and dear to your heart. I ask that you would shape our perspective of reality. Shape it, Lord Jesus, according to your truths. There is so much in the world today that is competing for our attention, our perspective, and our devotion. So much out there that wants to mold us and conform us that is not you. Lord, may we recognize this. May you enable us to see it if we're blinded to it. And may we partner with you to erect protections and barriers and boundaries. As born-again believers, we don't want to be shaped and molded by the world. We so do not want that. We want only to be shaped and molded and transformed by you. We desperately want to see and live according to your truth and your perspective. And so, Lord, I ask that you would grant each one of us this that I'm praying for. Father, I ask that you would protect each one of us from all other worldly and fleshly influences, regardless of what they may be. And lastly, Father God, I ask that you would make us a church, a body of believers who are known for our love of you and who are known for your very own attributes. Let us not be known for being harsh, unforgiving, unrepentant, or unloving. Let us be known for everything that you are in ways that are only possible, exclusively possible through your miraculous and gracious transformation. We commit our church and we commit ourselves to this glorious pursuit of you this year for our good and for your glory. Amen.